switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.
The Spirit of Faith Netcast is on the air. Once again, I'm glad you can join us this week, and I trust you join us every week as we teach the Word of God and get into some things that I believe will be of benefit to you, to your friends, to your family, to those that go to your church. And because of that, I'd encourage you to be sure to share the URL of this website, WOFM.org, which of course stands for Word of Faith Ministries, WOFM, Word of Faith Ministries, and we are a nonprofit organization, so .org, and we'd encourage you to let everybody know to tune in to the Spirit of Faith Netcast every week, because you know we're going to be getting into some good things from the Word of God, some things that will bless you, some things that will enlighten you, and some things that I believe will be timely for you where you are right now in your life. I just believe that by the Holy Spirit, we are sharing some things that are beneficial to you right where you are. Maybe you or a family member just this week have been dealing with something physical, some sickness or disease, and you've been thinking, what can I do about this? You know, maybe the doctors have told you there's no hope. You know, just prepare yourself. You know, as the old saying goes, make sure everything's okay between you and your maker. Well, if they told you that, then first of all, you need to take their advice and get everything right between you and your maker, meaning make sure that you are born again. But also know that there's something more for you. There's something more, even physically, that can be done beyond your getting born again. Now, that's excellent, and that's wonderful, and that is the primary thing that you need. But God's salvation through Jesus Christ also provides physical healing for the right now. It's great that we've got something for the sweet by and by, but it's also great that there's something right now in this time, in this life, that we can take advantage of, and that is physical healing. We're going to be getting into that further in this week's netcast. If you didn't catch last week's netcast, I'd encourage you to go back and get that, because that'll lay some groundwork for this week's netcast on healing. So I'd encourage you to do that. Now, before I continue, I just noticed some things. As I record this, it's morning here at my house. This is my living room. And welcome to my home. But I notice that there's some light coming through the window that's morning sunlight. Now, that's really cool. It's really very pretty. It's a beautiful day out. But it means that there's some light coming across my face that I had not planned on. So if you look at the image and think, what is that on his face that keeps moving? That's just the light coming in the window. I had not planned on that. Just a few minutes ago when I set up this shot, that wasn't there, but that's because of the sunrise. Actually, the light's coming from over here. I'm seeing the screen here, but I'm seeing it kind of in reverse because of the way it is. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Point is that if you see some of these little light artifacts, don't think that I've got some kind of skin condition, because that's not the case. Oh, my. Anyway, that's the beauty of recording the netcast live. It's not really live, but as I record it, I don't stop and I don't back up and I don't edit anything. I just, as though you came into my home and sat here with me in my living room, I just do the netcast. That's just my style. That's the way I like it, because I think it's more private and more personal, more intimate. And you get to know me and maybe my sense of humor, which is a little strange, getting kind of tickled about light coming through a window. Hey, you know, but that's just me. So I hope you enjoy these little diversions we have. We had a lighting system go out on one netcast. We've had all kinds of interesting things happen. Once I knocked the computer sideways and the picture went a little tilted. Oh, my. Anyway, So if you want some entertainment, you can always go back to earlier netcasts and get in on some of these things. Oh, well. Anyway, we're talking about healing. I want to get back to the word. We're talking about healing from the scriptures, and we're beginning in, last week, we began in Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember, we talked about the fact that if you go to work at a particular business or occupation or whatever, very often you'll not only get salary, you'll get benefits. Well, what God is saying here is, don't forget my benefits. There are benefits to being a Christian. There are benefits to being a believer. Don't forget them. Because if you forget them, you very often, actually most often, you won't take advantage of them. And God wants you to take full advantage of your benefits. So let's find out what these benefits are. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Now the word iniquity is evil, perversity, fault, mischief, sin. So we can just say sin. He forgives all your sin. Now, I mean, we could preach a message right there. We could take some time and just camp out right there, and it would be really exciting, and it is really exciting. God forgives how many of your sin? All of your sins. Whatever you may have done. You may say, but Dr. Bill, you don't know what I've done. Oh, I don't know, but I also know that it doesn't matter because the Bible says he forgives all. Remember what we found out about that word all, the Hebrew word kol, which is transliterated K-O-L-E. Now, I know it's not really spelled that way because it's Hebrew. It's written in Hebrew text. But the transliteration is K-O-L-E, kol. Now, what does all mean? We found all means all. What a revelation. All means that's all there is. There isn't any more. The whole complete. Matter of fact, let me just read the definition for you of the word all. It means properly the whole, hence all, any, or every. In all manner, all together, any, enough, every one, place, or thing, howsoever as many as anything, ought, whatsoever, the whole, whosoever. Whoa, that's a lot of definition. That's the Strong's Concordance definition. You can go look it up. It's the Strong's definition number H3605, the Hebrew word kol, and look at all that it meant. Everything, all. So now let's drop back and look at this. This is the word all. So when he says forgives all your iniquities, your all your sins, all your trespasses, all your mischief, all your perversity, you say, Dr. Bill, you don't know how perverse. No, it doesn't matter. All is all. Now, personally, I am thankful for that. I am, in the natural, far from perfect. I have committed sins that I don't even want to talk about. I don't even want to remember. But you know what? God doesn't remember them. It's one thing for me to not want to remember them. God doesn't. He chooses supernaturally to forget all of your sin. And you stand before him just as though you never sinned. That's what justification is. If you want to get a hold of that big Bible word, justification, it's just as if you never sinned. I like that. And that's exactly what he's talking about when he says he forgives all your sins. And that's through Jesus. Jesus bore your sin on the cross. Now, you know that. You've heard that taught. That's not new to you. That's not a surprise. Shouldn't be. Because most of us that have been to church at all, that have darkened the door of a church at any time in our lives, we know that Jesus bore our sin on the cross, that he was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And now, if that's a new concept to you, And to some folks, maybe it is. But I tell you what, Jesus bore your sin. Let me take just a moment. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start with verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word creature there is ketisis. I'm pronouncing the Greek as close as I can. So, you know, if it's not right, I apologize. But at any rate, it literally means a creature here means a formation. That is a new thing. Something that has not been created before. Something that has been formed anew. So we can look at it this way. Let's just take it basically as it's written in the King James. A new creation, a new creature, a new species of being. Something that has never existed before. Now, why go into all that detail? Because that's who you are. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're born again, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you believe God raised him from the dead, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, then you are a new creation. But let's keep reading. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're not the old man you used to be. You are a new type of creature, a new type of formation. You are, in effect, as alien to the people of this earth as an alien from outer space. Now, you know, that captures your attention because we've seen science fiction shows and so forth, and we've seen, you know, aliens come down. And, you know, that kind of gets us in the right reference of this new type of creature. And the Bible says we are aliens and strangers in this world. So it's actually a correct concept. But you are a new type of creation, a new type of creature that never existed before. Before people could be born again, before Jesus went to the cross, was buried, raised again from the dead, and seated at the right hand of the Father, no type of creature like this existed. But once he did that, once salvation was available, this type of creation, this type of creature, this type of alien on earth came into being, and those are Christians. You're different. You're unique. Okay, all the old things are passed away. That old person you used to be, gone. And now all things are become new. But let's keep reading. Verse 18. And all the things, all these new things, are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now God has given to every believer, every new creation, this ministry of reconciliation. And you know what this ministry of reconciliation is? He's about to tell us in the next verse. Hold on to your hat. Some of you are going to be amazed. But here's what that ministry is. To wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now let's stop a minute and look at that word world. In the Greek, that's the word cosmos. You know what the cosmos is, don't you? That's the entire universe. That's all of it. Now, literally, the actual Greek meaning is an orderly arrangement, decoration, by implication, the world in the widest sense, including all its inhabitants, literally or figuratively. And we've taken this word cosmos from the Greek, and it has come to mean the whole of the universe. God was in Christ reconciling the world. Let's just take it there from the King James. The entire world and everything within it. Because it literally means including all its inhabitants. The entire world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And hath committed unto us this word of reconciliation. So the word of reconciliation we're to carry to the world is, Jesus died for the whole world, and God is no longer imputing your sins to you because of what Jesus did. All you have to do is accept what Jesus did for you on the cross, believe God raised him from the dead, receive him as Lord, and your sins will no longer be be held against you. He will forgive all your iniquities. Wow. That's great, isn't it? Now, let's keep reading. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Jesus, in him, we are the righteousness of God. You might say, Dr. Bill, I don't feel like the righteousness of God. I don't even look like the righteousness of God. Doesn't matter. That's who God says you are. And I'm not going to argue with God. God says I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus, then that's who I am. To say that I am not, to deny that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, means that I do not fully receive what Jesus did for me on the cross and through his burial and death and resurrection. You will not hear me say that. I receive what he's done for me. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe that God raised him from the dead, and I'm born again, and because of that, I am now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't depend on me doing anything, me being righteous in and of myself. It is not of me, lest I should boast, but it is of God, and it is by what Jesus did. So let's examine this just a minute. There was a great exchange that took place here. He, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin. Now let me ask you this. Excuse me. Where did God get the sin to make him sin with? Notice it doesn't say that he just said, here's some sin, and threw it at Jesus. No, he made him, supernaturally made him to be sin. And look at the very next part of the verse. Who knew no sin? Jesus never committed a sin. He was perfect. He was sinless. So, where did the sin come from? Where did God get the sin? God doesn't create sin. God doesn't just have sin laying around. Where did he get the sin to make Jesus sin with? Jesus never committed a sin. I think you know where he got it. He got it from you. All the sin of all the people in all the world, he put on Jesus. And not only put it on him, made him to be sin. Wow. That's why Jesus suffered the way he did. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God can't look upon sin. The Bible tells us that. And that being the case, he couldn't look upon his own son dying there on the cross. And so, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the very fact he said that, now he was quoting scripture, because it was prophesied that he would say that. But the very meaning of that is, darkness came upon him. God, it seemed, had totally left him. Because he became sin with our sin. Now that was a great exchange. He took our sin upon him and became sin. Now he was and is nothing but righteousness. He had never committed sin. So what happened with his righteousness? It came on us. That's what I mean by the great exchange that took place there. He took our sin on himself, and we were given and made. It says made. See, look at this. That we might be made his, or the righteousness of God in him. So with his righteousness, we became righteous. With our sin, he became sin. And you say, man, that is not fair. Oh, you're right. It was not fair. But he chose to do it. He didn't have to, but he chose to. Seeing the reward that would come if he would be obedient and do that. And that reward is all of us. Brothers and sisters for him. Throughout eternity, wow, the sacrifice that Jesus made, it's just humbling that he would do that. But now, you say, well, Dr. Bill, that's great, but I thought you were talking about healing. Well, I am, but I needed you to see the great exchange, because let's go back to Psalm 103, And let's look at what he says, who forgiveth all thy sins, see, because he became sin with our sin on the cross, who healeth all thy diseases. Same verse, Psalm 103, verse 3. He healeth all our diseases. And you know what? He did that because he took our diseases upon himself at the same time on the same cross. This is what we're going to get into this week. Now, I had to kind of review a little bit there to bring us to this point because I needed to get you to see where this comes from, this great exchange that we're talking about with regard to sin and with regard to sickness and disease. Now, let's look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is the prophet Isaiah prophesying what Jesus would do on the cross. And let's read now and listen very closely to what he says. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness when we see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely, this is what I want you to see. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. In other words, he went to the cross. He was wounded for our sin, our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now you say, but Dr. Beal, don't you think this could mean some kind of spiritual healing? This is not necessarily talking about physical healing. Oh, yes it is. It's the Hebrew word rapha. Listen to the meaning. To mend by stitching, to cure, as in a physician, to heal, to make whole. It's talking about a physician making you whole. It's talking about, for instance, if you get cut, being stitched up. That's medicine. That's medical attention. This is healing he's talking about, physical healing. But beyond that, let's go back up to that earlier verse, verse 4, where he says, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Again, we got to look at the original meaning here, what the actual Hebrew says. The word grief here is choli. It means malady, disease, sickness. That's the meaning of the word. Now, it also means grief and calamity. Yes, that translation is still appropriate. But the deeper meaning here is sickness, malady, disease. Now, hold that thought. Now, some of you may want to argue with me. Don't just yet. Hold on. And he carried our sorrows. Makobi in the Hebrew. And there's several different derivations. Makobi or Makobal, I imagine, depending on its usage. But here it means anguish, sorrow, anguish. That seems correct, you know, from what we understand from the King James here. But it also means affliction, as a physical affliction, grief or pain. Pain and affliction also. So let's look at this. He bore our sickness, our grief, our pain, maladies, diseases. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, which we know is our sin. He was bruised for our iniquity. Once again, sin. Like we read earlier. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Our peace with God. And literally, this word peace is a word we already know and are familiar with, the Hebrew word shalom. which means complete and total wholeness. To be happy, friendly, the welfare of man, prosperity, peace, good health, to be whole. All of that meaning is part of this word shalom. Our shalom was upon him. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Our shalom, our peace, our wholeness, our prosperity was accomplished on the cross. The great exchange is more than just our being forgiven of sin. The great exchange that took place on the cross, where Jesus took upon him our sin and became sin, and we took his righteousness and became righteous, we also took peace from God. We also received healing for our bodies. He became sick on the cross that we might be well. That's part of the great exchange. He took a lack of shalom, peace, wholeness. I mean, he was marred, as the Bible says, to such a point that he didn't even look like a man anymore. He took so much upon him. But we got shalom. We got peace. We got his righteousness. We got healing. We got totally delivered of sin. Wow. What Jesus did for us on the cross. Now you may say, but you know, Dr. Bell, I just don't know. I don't think that, you know, that sickness and disease is part of this meaning. I mean, yeah, that you say that the Hebrew means that, but I just don't know. I just don't know if that's really what it says, if that's really what it's talking about. Well, I'll tell you what. You need to look at Jesus' own commentary on the scripture. Did you know that Jesus had a comment about sickness and disease from this same verse? Yeah. He said that, as Isaiah the prophet said, and in the New Testament, the Hebrew is kind of transliterated. So when we say Isaiah, it says Isaiah. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, and verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which is the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities, which the Greek word here means feebleness, malady, frailty, disease, infirmity, sickness. It's pretty clear. And bear our sicknesses, which again means infirmity, malady, disease. So Jesus' own commentary on this scripture is that it might be fulfilled, which we just read over in Isaiah 53, that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And what was he doing that caused this comment, if you will, in the scripture? Matthew 8:16 says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So here is direct revelation from the New Testament that Old Testament verse was talking about sickness and disease. Well, we're just about out of time, and the sun keeps rising through the window here, as I mentioned earlier, and it's just kind of getting in my eyes. So we're going to stop right here, and I'm going to pick up again next week as we continue to talk about this healing from the scripture. I need you to see that healing is for today, it's for you, and it's part of the atonement, because then it's a benefit that you'll take advantage of once you know it's for you. All right, we're out of time. We'll pick up right here next time. I want you to write me, as I always mention, my email address, drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wofm.org. Write me, let me know what the netcast means to you, and if it's blessing you, I'd love to hear that. I'd love to get your questions, and you know, we'll pick up on some questions and answer those as we have time and as the Spirit leads. And I just believe that we can help you in so many ways as we help proclaim the Word of Faith, showcase ministries, and train people to fulfill the Word of God. That's the vision for Word of Faith Ministries. Join us next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Cast not away your confidence. Keep the switch of faith turned on.